Today's scripture reading comes from both Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. So begin with Matthew chapter 2, and we'll pick up with verse 13. Now, after they had left, talking about the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and sent and killed all the children in around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what has been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice is heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they were no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child's mother, and go to the land of Israel. But those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene." And then flipping over to Luke chapter 2, with verse 41. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in a group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why are you treating us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching with you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning we're going to talk about Jesus, the early years. Now we're all very familiar about his birth, about the coming of the shepherds and the wise men, and we may, in our minds, get them all mushed together, like on the Christmas card, and I mentioned last week, that is actually two separate events. And then usually we think next is about his baptism, okay? And that'll be next Sunday. In fact, we have a beautiful stained glass window about his baptism there, right, the Josh there. But for the most of 30 years, we don't have a whole lot of information what's going on with Jesus. But we got just enough to give some clues, okay? Now, last Sunday, I kind of cut it off after the verse about the wise men being told to go to their home country and not to return to King Herod. Now, and then we talked about how earlier, with Joseph, that Joseph, just like the Joseph in Genesis, who was also a son of Jacob, but had dreams. And so again, Joseph has a dream. Joseph, grab the child, his mom, and you need to leave for Egypt right now. And so in the middle of the night, Joseph grabs baby Jesus and grabs Mary, gets that poor old donkey out of the stable, and down the road they go to Egypt. And there was a purpose behind that. Think about how the people of Israel, the Jewish people, they were in Egyptian slavery. And now all of Egypt, God brought them back to their land. Jesus, by going to Egypt, was kind of reenacting that. And think about how Moses, when he was just a small baby, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, tried to kill him, and he escaped. In the same way, there will be a king who does not know God who will try to kill the deliverer, Jesus. And of course, that king was King Herod the Great. And so there's King Herod the Great in his palace in Jerusalem, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting for the wise men to show up, and they don't show up, okay? Now, in Dane world, we call that getting ghosted, right? You're waiting and you're waiting. You're at that restaurant. Is she coming? No, I haven't called. No. Well, that's what Herod's doing. So Herod is furiated. Now, we have a carol we'll sing out our hymn. We'll call the Covenant Carol, though, about Herod the king and his raging. Well, that's what happened. Herod was furious. The wise men wised up and outsmarted King Herod the Great. So what does he do? He does something very evil. Now, it talks about how, you know, King Herod had very diligently asked these wise men, now, exactly when did this sign first appear in the east? And that's why I said, kind of hints that there was at least a few months had gone by before, between Jesus being born and their coming. And so Herod, I feel like, is covering his bets. He tells his soldiers, go to Bethlehem, and not just Bethlehem, but go to the areas around it. Every male child, let's make it 2 years, just to be safe. Kill him. Now think about this. He's an old man. There's no way that 2-year-old child is going to be a threat to him. He'll be dead and gone by then. And yet, in his paranoia, that's what he did. And he thought, Herod thought, that the Lord who put the star in the sky to begin with could be undone by his little schemes. What Herod the Great didn't know was the child he was looking for wasn't even in Bethlehem. He already crossed the border to Egypt. And so here's little Jesus. He is a fugitive, wanted dead, not alive, in his homeland. And he's seeking refuge. He's a refugee over in Egypt, the place where his ancestors had been slaves. Now, when we saw the movie, The Star, at the very end of the credits, and they had pictures, you know, with drawings of Jesus with the pyramids in the background, him along the Nile River, you know, showing him kind of growing up there for at least for a little while. And it talks about how when Herod did that crazy act, it fulfilled scripture of Jeremiah. Jeremiah talking about Rachel weeping and mourning for her children because they were not. Now, when Jeremiah, he's talking about the Babylonians coming in and doing this. And yet we see once again an echo how Jesus' life will echo events of Jewish history. Well, King Herod dies. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream, says, Joseph, you can go back home to the land. Herod's dead. Well, he gets up there and he finds out that a guy named Archelaus is ruling, okay? Now, we don't know much about Archelaus from the scriptures, but we do know from Josephus, the historian, who lived after the time of Jesus. And when Archelaus took over, he was such a mess that a great riot broke out. And the Romans had sent in their soldiers to help put down this great riot. And so, naturally, Joseph wasn't too eager to go back to Bethlehem to be near Jerusalem with all that going on. It was a war zone. And so, again, he has another dream that says, go down to Galilee. And so he goes back to the hometown of Nazareth, Mary's hometown of Nazareth. And then it talks about he should be called a Nazarene. And there was a lot of scholarly discussion about, you know, what prophet or prophets and such does that mean. And there are several theories. Now, what do we know about Nazareth? Well, we know in John's gospel when Philip tells Nathanael, we found a Messiah. He's a guy named Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? That'd be like here in McMinn County. Somebody said, we found a Messiah. His name's Jesus of Calhoun. You'd be like, Calhoun? You know, like anything important come out of Calhoun? You know, that'd be your attitude, wouldn't it? That's on the other side of the county. One more river, it'd be over in Bradley County, you know? I mean, Nazareth, though, was a small, insignificant place. Now, I kind of think about Superman, right? Growing up in Smallville. Remember Smallville and Superman movies and such? That's how Nazareth is, a little small town. And he grew up in what's called Galilee. That was the region. So what happened was, when Archelaus made a mess, Caesar Augustus said, this isn't going to work. And so he more or less took Herod's wheel and ripped it in half and said, I'll decide who's going to do this. And so there were some change-ups. From now on, he said, there'll be a Roman governor ruling Judea and Samaria. That's the two lion's share. And then the smaller sections of the country will divide up among the remaining brothers. So Jesus grows up in this region called Galilee. And so his ruler will be a guy named Herod Antipas, okay? And we'll talk more about Herod Antipas when we get to John the Baptist, okay? Where they had their run-in, and he was a mess. And Herod Antipas actually had a great rebellion on his hands at one point. He crushed down, and he had to rebuild the capital of Galilee. And the capital was only 12 miles away from Nazareth. And right now you have archaeologists who are digging that up. And so a lot of people theorize that if you actually went to Nazareth and said, I'm looking for Joseph and his son Jesus, you know, they say, oh, they're not here. They're actually down the road at the Capitol at the construction site, okay? And so Jesus would grow up in Galilee. And so his dad was a carpenter, or a blue-collar man. And I suspect growing up, Jesus actually did lots of odd and end jobs. And the reason I kind of have that theory is, when you read his teachings, you know, it sounds like he's very familiar with lots of different occupations. Now, we've all heard about, you know, the sawdust in your eye and your neighbor's eye and the log beam in your eye, and that's a carpenter. But, you know, at one point he talks about being the good shepherd, and it sounds like he's done some shepherding. You know, talk about the kingdom of God being like a great net catching fish, and he seems like he's very comfortable being on the boat with Peter and John and James and Andrew and helping them fish. So I get the impression that Jesus, growing up, when he wasn't doing work with his father, he actually did some side jobs, and he learned different trades, and he learned how other people lived and what they were going through. And then Jesus would be growing up, and he would have brothers and sisters, and the belief that Mary and Joseph were just like any other couple. Jesus, the firstborn child, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then I think along the way came his brother James and his brother Judah and Simon and Joseph. And then at least two sisters came along. And we just know that from other parts in the gospel. It talks about when he goes to Nazareth in the synagogue and they start naming off his brothers and sisters. Okay? He had a big family. And Jesus, being the oldest child, would have to help support that big old family. And then we get to this interesting story when he is 12 years old, okay? They go up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And the Passover is the celebration of freedom. It's July the 4th. You may recall how the Lord sent 10 plagues upon Egypt. And for the 10th plague, the Lord told Moses, I want you to take hyssop, take the blood of a pure lamb, put that blood on the doorpost, and tonight when the angel of death appears, the angel of death will pass over the house. And then tomorrow morning when you wake up, you will no longer be slaves, you'll be free. And so this is a very important holiday for the Jewish people. And this occurs every year in spring. And I don't think it's an accident, because remember, Jesus will be crucified not in September around the Day of Atonement, but at Passover to set us free from the bondage of sin and slavery. And so they go to Jerusalem, and they're leaving. And Jesus is 12 years old. Nowadays we call that a preteen, don't we? Now, you know, those teenage years are kind of messy, aren't they? I sell my high school kids back in October. I said, I feel bad for you guys at Halloween time. And I'm like, why that, Mr. Womack? I said, you guys getting too old trick-or-treat, but you're too young to give out candy and enjoy it. And so that's why you get Tim to go out here joyriding, bigging up mailboxes all night long, you know? You know, you're that stage where you're kind of like a child, you're kind of the adult, you're in between, it's really awkward and such. And so when they're leaving, all the men be together in one group, and the women and children be in another group. And so Mary looks around, says, I don't see Jesus. Oh, he must be with his dad, Joseph. You know, and Joseph, he's saying, well, he must be with his mama, Mary, you know. And so that night, they're at the campfire, and Joseph, where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. Oh, God, you know, we lost the Son of God, you know. I think about that, you know. Lost him for 3 whole days. American comedian Mark Lowry talked about how Mary and Joe lost Jesus for 3 days and says, some of you got panic because you lost your kid for 10 minutes at Walmart, you know. Where's that kid at? You remember those times, I don't know, they didn't, I haven't heard recently, but I remember like growing up like a Kmart, like, so-and-so, your child's at the cash register number 5, come here and pick him up, you know. Of course, that's back when we actually had cash registers and somebody ran the cash register, right? Now it's all self-checkout. But for 3 days, Mary and Joseph are running around the capital of Jerusalem. Where's Jesus, okay? Remember, there's no Amber Alerts back then. I mean, that's something very recent, even for our society. There's no Facebook, so there's no, you can't text them. Jesus, where are you, you know? We don't know, you know? I mean, you're running around. It's not like you can say, hey, here's the high school, his school picture, you know, this past, no, you don't have any pictures, you know? Where is this kid at? And so they find him at the temple. And he's sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And I remember a couple years ago, I was watching a program, and they were interviewing the chief archaeologist of Jerusalem. Okay, he was a Jewish guy with this big, long mustache. And he was talking about, he says, oh, yes, so we found those steps. Isn't that what you mean? He said, so we discovered these steps, and only it was described, what it was about. Here is where the scribes sit and teach. So those are the steps that Jesus had been at when he was talking to the scribes. And I thought, well, how cool is that? I mean, they found it 2,000 years later, found those actual steps, you know. And so here's Jesus having a little Bible study with the scribes, and then along comes Mary. Now, a lot of us, we either kind of ignore Mary or some of our friends, they think Mary like this little statue in the yard who's just calm, cool, and collective. This Mary isn't like this. This is more like Mary, it's like the mother from Home Alone, right? Where's Kevin? Because listen what she says. Child. Not Jesus. She says, child. Why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. I mean, this is one upset mother, okay? I want to ask all your mothers. If your child went to Nashville with you and disappeared for 3 days and you found him, what would your response be? You might love him and hang him afterwards, right? You'd be like, where have you been at, you know? Because Jesus, no, he's just like, hey, Mom, you know. Okay. Now, by the way, in the book of Ezekiel, you know, he's just like, doesn't miss a beat, you know. He's just like, child, you know, where have you been at? Your father and I have been looking everywhere for you. And then Jesus, being Jesus, says, you know, why were you looking everywhere for me, you know? Did you not know I'd be in my father's house? And they said they did not understand what he said to them. And now some folks will look at that and think, well, how did they not know that, you know, if no, this is true, him being Son of God? Well, I think the answer is that for 12 years, Jesus was just a normal human child grown up. With a small exception, he never sinned. What does that mean to be human, to be sinless? Because in our society, we kind of take the word perfect and sinless and we kind of blend them together for either the wrong or right reasons. Sometimes we treat things that are sins and not really sin. It's just, you know, you didn't know better. So, for example, when I was a kid, Mom tells a story about where she was walking through roses. Oh, you guys remember roses back in Cleveland? Yeah, that's been a while back, hasn't it? Okay, remember back in the 80s, okay? 81 model. And she was holding my hand, and then she noticed I was being slow. She turns around and looks, and I was dragging this big old bag of socks, okay? And she said, you know how embarrassed that would have been? We walked out of that pair of socks and me working at Charleston Hosiery, you know. But, you know, I was a toddler. Now, when a toddler walks out with a bag of socks or anything, that's not a sin. That's just they don't know any better. You got to teach them, hey, you know, in our society, this is how we do this. That's just part of growing up. Now, if I go down to the Dollar General here, right, and walk out the bag of socks, that's a different story, isn't it? Now we're in sin territory, right? I know better, okay? You know, it's not a sin when you're a little toddler learning things. You got to be taught this stuff. You know, when you knock the milk over, that's not a sin. You're just clumsy, okay? We've all been there. When you had that fender bender in the park lot, that's not a sin, okay? You just didn't see him, you made a mistake. You know, when you take that math test and you failed it, that wasn't a sin, thank God, okay? You just didn't understand the math. That's just being human. So sometimes I think we're a little too hard on ourselves. Now, there are times I think... We go the other direction with it. Well, I'm just human, you know. I mean, I cheat on my taxes, but I'm just human. Yeah, I had an affair. It was stupid. No. That's not being human, and that's just being sinful, being disobedient. You knew better. You knew what you were doing. You know, it's one thing to make a mistake on your tax papers, but when you cheat on your taxes, you're now in sin territory, okay? Here's the deal. Jesus never sinned. When he was in school, he never cheated off another person. He never lied about anything. I mean, if he broke the vase, he told Mom, Mom, I broke that vase. No, he didn't make up some crazy story about the cat came in and knocked it over, right? If he spilled the milk, you know, I'm sorry, Mom, I spilled the milk, he'll clean it up. That's the difference between being sinless and being perfect. And so Jesus was a sinless person. He never sinned. And yet he was so human that it's like Mom and Dad almost kind of forgot about it because they were in full panic mode looking for him. And then he had to kind of remind them in his gentle way, did you not know I'd be in my Father's house? And that's his way of kind of reminding them, hey, I'm not like Brother James and Joseph and Judah and Simon and my sisters. You know, I'm a little different, you know. And it says they were amazed and didn't quite understand it, you know. They had to grow into it, too. They had to learn about it. And then it says he went down to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You know, I think Mother Mary thought a lot about that, you know. About baby Jesus, washing him in the manger and going to Egypt. And then he's crawling, then he's walking and taking those first steps and teaching him his ABCs in Hebrew and teaching him the scriptures. And then when he's 13, his bar mitzvah, you know, and he says, you're not a man, you can read the scripture in the synagogue, you know. Just like we do with our kids, right? And yet Jesus has that one notch special on us. He's sinless. He's come to do what no one else has ever done, live a sinless life. Yeah. To be fully human and fully divine. Think about that. With Jesus, you can't separate those out because he's both divine and both human. You know? And so when we see in the scriptures where he gets angry or he's weeping the tomb of Lazarus, we have memory like, that's that human divine nature altogether. When they think about how God in the Old Testament would get angry at people for their violence or he would weep and mourn over other people. And then it says, Jesus increased in wisdom, in the stature or in years, and in divine human favor. In other words, he grew mentally. What was he doing at night, probably? He probably had a little oil lamp, and he was reading all this. Reading and meditating over the scriptures. Because when you get into the Gospels, he can quote those scriptures. Isaiah, the Psalms, Daniel. He's quoting those scriptures over and over again. Genesis, have you not read? No, have you not read? Have you not read? You know, he knows the scriptures. It talks about growing in stature. You know, he got bigger and taller. Now, he's a carpenter. He has some muscles on him. He worked hard. He wasn't at home watching TV all day on social media. It said he grew in favor with God. That means he grew spiritually. How do you grow spiritually? You read your Bible, you pray, you meditate, you live that life, and you grow spiritually. And also about human favor. That means he grew socially. He had friends. People enjoy being around Jesus. And of course, later on, he'll have 12 friends that are close to him. One will betray him. But he also had friends like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, his buddies down in Bethany. Yeah. And then Jesus had that ability where, like with the woman in the well, he could strike up a conversation with any stranger. He could walk to a restaurant, Hardee's, or Dollar General, the post office, and he'd walk up to somebody and talk to them. And because of that divine nature, he knew exactly what to say to them and what their need was. Now, why is all that important? Because in Hebrews, it tells us we have a high priest who knows how it is to be human, who knows our struggles. This isn't some Greek god or Roman god who is above all of us. This is somebody who came down from heaven to Bethlehem in a stall, and then he went through that long, slow process of growing up. He had to get his diaper changed. He had to learn how to crawl and walk and learn his ABCs and go to school. He had learned how to start using tools, and he cut himself. He messed up. Everything we do, we kind of mumble, fumble about, fuss about. He'd been there and done that. You know why he did that? He did because he loved you. And he wanted to come and see how life was as a human being, experience that life, and do all that before he started his ministry. He loved you so much that he came down and became human, flesh and bone. And he started off as a small infant in the manger in Bethlehem. And he went through the taller years, the preteen years, the teenage years, young adult years. And then finally he became an adult in his 30s. And his ministry started by his baptism by John the Baptist. It was for our sakes that he became human. He walked among us. And the Word became human, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory that has the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.